This is for the Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women. It is the oral history number 2. I'm interviewing Rabbi and Mrs. Sholem Posner, and I am Irene Elmer. Rabbi Posner, can you tell us a little bit about your life in Europe before you came to this country, about your education and your home life, your brothers and sister?
About my home life is not too much to say, because I left my home when I was a young boy, 13 years old.
You left your home at the age of 13? Were you in a public school then, or were you always in a religious school?
Always in a religious school.
In those days, I know today at the yeshiva you teach English and history and, you know, all the subjects they do. In those days, was it only a religious education that you were receiving?
Only religious, but I received some other education also. Yeshiva.
But not at the yeshiva?
In the house. Private.
Till I went to the yeshiva, I received other education also. Not too much, but as much my father felt it's necessary. Some arithmetic, a little bit Russian to read, and also in Hebrew, Digdut. These subjects were taught in the religious schools. I had a private teacher. Early in the morning before I went to school, I went to him for an hour, an hour and a half.
Was it unusual for a student to have a private teacher the way you did?
This was only for parents that wanted to. And don't forget, this was when I was at the age from 9 till 11. Because from 11 years, we left that little town that we was living before, another city, and there I went right away in my yeshiva. And from that yeshiva, because the Rosh Yeshiva was one of the Lubavitcher pupils, Tom Miriam, he sent me to the main Lubavitcher yeshiva, at the Lubavitcher.
Where was this?
This was a city called Russia, Romny.
In Russia?
In Russia.
But you were away from your family then, completely? From the age of 13?
And then from the age of 13, when I went to the Babich, I was away from my parents. The first time for a year and a half. And the second time, I went right back at the house for 3.5 years. I wasn't home to sleep in the parents. And this was only the religious education.
I see. Okay, so, and how long did you, how old were you when you left the yeshiva?
I was in the, connected with the yeshiva, besides the timbers a little time, I was out for a short time. Till I left Russia. That means over 10 years.
So you were about 23 years old.
Yes.
Now,
it was disturbed in the same time also. The yeshiva was closed up. And went from city to city. He was in a city traveling children. Then he was in Poltava. Then he was in Kharkov. Because they didn't let us to stay. So.
You had to move from city to city. So they didn't know where you were.
The yeshiva was moving, so a group of boys, because they wanted the yeshiva to go out. So.
In other words, the Russians would not permit you to have a yeshiva. If they had known where you were, they would have... What would they do? Would they put you in jail?
No, they would just close up. They would take away the, you know, that time the bread would get them...
Was bread used to give
a ration and cash.
ration.
A rationing card.
They
would take that away from you. Could you only get food then with a card?
Bread, especially. Bread. Other food we didn't want. Meat, the butter, these things. We wouldn't use energy. But bread was by the carts, rationing carts.
You said, I know you would not buy their meat because it wasn't kosher. Could you buy meat then from, were there kosher butchers that you could buy?
Was not kosher meat.
Did you never ate meat in Russia?
Since that time, we didn't eat it.
You mean, until you left Russia, you...
Sometimes with chicken, you
shave it. Sometimes just a piece of chicken.
You never ate meat for 23 years?
Not for 23 years. Till the war started in 1914 was everything.
Oh.
But till the war started, I was a young boy. When the war started, I was the barbarism.
In other words, this after the war, this happened.
After the revolution.
The revolution in
1918. The time of the first release to 1917. Was everything. You didn't have to mask for everything. Even at home, we didn't eat meat every day. We didn't eat as much meat here to make our meat just for me. So. But since 1917 and the revolution came, then 1918 started the Bolsheviks. So everything was rationing. Because years I didn't taste meat.
Hmm. What did you eat? Cheese? And chicken?
What kind of cheese?
I mean, what did you eat?
I ate bread.
Bread?
And we go to the store, I ate a lot of tomatoes. To get tomatoes is a lot of cheap.
Fish also.
In the store is fish also. Just a seasoning, there are lots of fish.
You left Russia when you were 23. Was it difficult to get out of Russia?
Very difficult, but still we did that permission to leave Russia.
How did you get your passport, or did you always have one?
My passport that I got, you asked my niece, she'll tell you better, because she got the passport from me.
You wasn't able to go, because you needed a visa from the country, otherwise he wasn't able to go.
You needed a visa and a passport.
That's right, first a visa and then a
passport is to go out, and a visa
we
is
need to go in.
To go into the other country.
That's right. We had two brothers in Israel at that time. So before we got engaged, I meet myself and my mother, because that time my mother was
your mother has sons, not brothers.
So anyhow, when we got engaged, we decided we'll stay in Russia. My mother go in Israel by herself.
You and Rabbi Posner were going to stay in Russia.
Yes, because the Rebbe was there. But in between our wedding and the engagement of the wedding, his father was killed. That's his father, the little picture on the left. He was killed. And that made us very much upset, and we decided not to stay anymore there.
How was your father killed?
In your plane, he was in New York City on the way home by boat.
In a little boat.
So the bandits came on the boat and they killed all the Jewish people. It
was
eight
Jewish people.
They killed them
in the river.
They just killed them because they
Jewish.
Because they were Jews.
So then raised up the question, how are you going to get a passport to go out? Because he wasn't registered in any place, in any city, while he was in the yeshiva. Register in any place, you know. And that time we used to have, every house had a book, and everyone who lives in that house is registered in that book. So we came in our city, and we had our own house. So I went to the police station, and I registered him in our house. Then I begin to go out to see what can I do about get a passport, an overseas passport. And here people ask me, who's that man? I see he just registered. He wasn't living with you in your house. I said, no, he just got engaged and he's here. Where were he before? He was in Rostov, in a yeshiva. So can't you show me anything? What kind of man he is? Maybe he was sometime in jail or some kind of crime, or he knew some only for having business and so on. I couldn't give him anything because, and I told him the truth. He was a shoeblacher all his years. So they refused to give me. And I used to go from one office to another office. I stopped. It wasn't that I have to go in the office only from our street or so. So I went in another office. And I went from one office to the other constantly a whole summer. And they refused.
All summer this
year? All summer. And my sisters, my brothers, my whole family, and friends, they thought that something is wrong with me, because no one believed that I can get from them a passport, not having anything to show them about him. Until I did got some a young man, a commissar, and he says, all right, I'll try for you. And it took a couple months until he did give me. Once he says to me, let me at least see him. So I answer him, I don't want you to make fun of my cousin, Genir in Russia, because he still used to wear a suit like this with a beard. That time it was very unusual. Only for yourself?
I don't want to spend
it. I
think you're giving me. It was really, I didn't believe myself I'll get it. That was the truth. But I didn't have any choice. I didn't know what to do otherwise. So I kept going again and again and again until when I told him the truth. I said, what can we do here? I'm a religious girl. And he's a religious boy, will never become communist. And the communists can get anything from us. And there is no place for us here. There is no future for us. And he was kind enough, and he gave me the passport. When he handed to me the passport, and he says to me, will you at least send us the south fruit, which are growing in Israel? I was so already exhausted. I didn't know how. But I'm thinking now what I answered him. I'm getting chills.
You're getting nervous. Now.
I said to him, "Soon I'll close your door. I'll try to forget about you."
But he didn't take the passport.
No, no, you left. And I'm just thinking, how could I say such thing? You take the passport from my hand and turn it in half.
So you went to Israel ahead of...
So then I left him the passport. He didn't have a visa.
Yes.
And I went with my mother through Odessa. There we picked up, we had a sister there. She had the older son, was 9 years old. She says, what are you going to do here? He's growing like a shagits. Take him with you. So we put them under my mother's passport as her son. And we took him in Israel. And then, 1 year later, my brother sent him a visa. And with him also I wanted him right away to send him a visa. But I don't know what kind of reason. He couldn't, or he didn't want it, I don't know. He let go later and later and later. So I got once angry and I went in Nazareth. He lives near Nazareth. It's a Arabian city. And there is the consul, was an English, the English consul. So I went there and asked him if he'll send him a visa. He says, but he have something? He have something to show? He says, no, I'm living by my brother. He said, then I can't do anything for you, the brother have to send.
So your brother finally did?
So he did. He sent a visa and he came there. My brother is the oldest of the family and I am the youngest. And he got married that year when I came there. And he told us we shouldn't rush now to get married. We should try to work ourselves up first a little bit. And then we'll get married. But I felt when he came, we didn't have a house with a lot of rooms. We had very limited place where to live. And he had to stay with us together. And by our law, it's not proper to live that kind of a life. So I said, we're going to get married. And he said, it's not so. So I said, my dear brother, I didn't ask you when to get engaged, and I wouldn't ask you when to get married. But the only thing where I promise you, that the first dinner after we get married, I will meet yours.
Oh.
The first meal. After our marriage, I'm not eating yours.
You were always very independent, weren't you? Always.
And we went both in Haifa. Haifa is between Afula and Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. So we went both a Friday morning in Haifa, and we went to a rabbi in a house, and we called two people which I was sending or knocking chatzats, stones.
Yeah.
We called them in for witnesses.
Yeah.
And they put a chuppah for us. We went back home. It was interesting, in the morning when we came in, we went in shul. So he went downstairs to the man, and I went upstairs to the woman. I dumped and he dumped. And I cried. There was one woman. She came over to me. She said, are you just coming from the ship? I said, no, I'm just going on the ship.
Aww.
And then she saw that what happened. She understood what I mean.
Aww.
And we had that time $3. That was our
fortune. All the money you made.
All the money we had, $3. We came home. At that time, my brother was in Tel Aviv. He used to live also in Afula, but we choose the time when he wasn't in. That when we got married. And we came back, we made Shabbos for ourselves, of course, and that was our wedding.
Well, you did live with your brother then?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, how did you avoid eating with him?
There were chalutzim, you know, the workers.
Yes.
So,
you tell him about how you moved up from your brother.
Yeah. When he came there, he was a big businessman.
Your brother?
My brother. It's also a big story how he came from. He was in Siberia, Sheikhet.
Well, you don't have to, you know, give me
so,
his.
Anyway, so he came there. He made big business. He was a builder. He built a lot of houses in Tel Aviv until he got sick on the yellow malaria.
Malaria.
And they took him in Jerusalem at the time.
So
and until he came back, he lost everything. Whatever he
did.
So he went and there, and this he have his place in Afula from before. So he came with his wife, and they also didn't have a house. They just put house. He had not just a stable for the
Well, no,
house.
Wait. You got married. You moved into your brother's house. Your brother was
that's
away.
What I want to tell you. He didn't. It wasn't a house. He didn't.
Yeah,
it's
all right.
My brother Nezer had a house.
Yes.
And she would move to New York because her mother was living with her brother.
Okay.
After we got married that Friday, we stood on the Shabbos because he wasn't
home. He was away.
He wasn't Tel Aviv anyway. After the two walls were built to the wall from the stable, yeah. And then the front was at the.
So you took two walls from an old shanty and attached it to
yes.
the barn.
It was attached from before. Before
oh,
the,
right.
It was attached from
but
before.
My brother lived
it. It was attached from before, two walls to the wall of the stable. That when you the night when you sleep, you hear how the cows.
You're right next to the top.
Then okay. They're unchained to the walls.
Did you have any furniture in this?
My
there was no floor even. Just
the dirt.
Just the dirt. And her brother made like a sofa, just some boards.
So
yeah. Daytime was used for chairs to see, and evening was used to lay on it to sleep.
And he made a table. Yeah.
And the roof was just from...
Where?
How you call it?
Tin.
And also not building to diet good at one Shabbos. And we were sitting in the living, and it was started raining with a big wind, so that the wind lift up
the roof,
and the roof fell inside, and thank God didn't
hit us.
Oh my.
Wow.
That was your first home.
That was my first time. And once I was standing
that's
in...
That's really had our honeymoon.
That was your honeymoon house.
That was our honeymoon. And they
well, now wait, what were you
but
doing
he,
for
but
my...
He did, but he didn't care.
You didn't care.
What were you doing for a living?
I told
see,
you.
I went to the Mishkata Vada.
The labor? Yeah.
Where is it? From the Statute.
Yeah, it was the union.
Yeah.
I took a book from the Istadrut and was like a member in there. Yeah, I didn't want to go to the Mizrahi because then I'll be a partyman belonging.
The Mizrahi was political?
Yeah.
A
partyman. So when I used to get a day, sometimes 2 days, it happened 3 days a week, it was very good.
Of work?
Work,
what odd. Kind of work?
What kind of work? The main work was when you chassas. To make the gravels. They didn't have the machines to make the gravels.
It was made stones for the roads.
Yeah, and then I worked by the drainage colonization for the in Afula when they built Afula. They have to prepare the colonization first.
Oh, the pipelines.
I just dig
the
ditches.
How long did you do that? How many years did you do that
for me? I didn't do it too long, see. When I wrote a letter to the Rebbe, I didn't ask him any advice in that time. I just wrote him a letter because I know the Rebbe wants to know where I am, what I'm doing.
This was your teacher in Russia that you
wrote to? The Rebbe, not exactly the teacher, the Rebbe, the Rebbe just like the Rebbe. So I wrote him where I am, what I'm doing. So from him I got a letter, and that for this purpose he sent me to Israel. And I should like, it would like better if he got to the United States. If I have his relatives, and I give him another name, I should ask him, they should make it easy for me. In the meantime, it seems that it was a letter to Jerusalem also. Jerusalem had a central yeshiva also from the Bar, the Rebbe's yeshiva. So it seemed that they have a strong letter. Why they let me to struggle like this? So they came here to me.
The rabbi from Jerusalem came to see you because the rabbi in Russia wrote and told him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know exactly, but...
I think this is probably what happened.
The question. I know it happened, but exactly, but so anyway, so they wanted to come to Yeshiva to learn this, I didn't like it. So they gave me a job in Tel Aviv in Atomic Table also. So I was in Bakuri over a year's time. And then I went to Tel Aviv to for a job in Atomic Table.
Well, did you still? Was this close enough that you still lived at your brother's, in that house of your brother's? Because I don't know the distances.
And we moved to Tel Aviv.
Oh, you moved to Tel Aviv.
Sure.
Oh, all right.
I moved to Tel Aviv.
You cannot go back and forth.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it takes an hour and a half, 2 hours to go from Tel Aviv to where the brother is.
All right. So you moved to Tel Aviv.
I moved to Tel Aviv, and I took the job. But then I didn't like the job because there was another teacher also. And because he was an outsider and I was an inside man because I'm also a teacher, the Tamte was an art, just like he did here. So the difference is that I teach it from our boys, I teach it from my other issue. So that man felt like I came so I take away from him. So I didn't like it, so I left the yeshiva. I got a job in Rishon LeZion.
Teaching?
I got a job of teaching, but not at a Talmud Torah, private lessons.
And where did you live there?
In Rishon LeZion.
No, but I mean, did you have a house or an apartment?
Apartment.
You had a room.
We rented a room with a porch. See? And the porch you had a little place to have for a kitchen. What was the kitchen? Just a primus.
A what?
Primus. It was a little lamp, like you're cooking on it.
Oh, a little stove.
It's not a stove, like a lamp.
Like a burner, yes.
Like a burner, see?
That was it?
That was the kitchen, see?
Everyone lived like that.
Everyone did.
Not
everyone, but
most
know.
People did.
The room was a pretty big room, just happened, so they made a curtain between, so we had our bedroom, our mother stayed with us.
Your mother?
So,
yeah, then his friends came.
You always had people living with you. Is this the first time in your lives that you haven't had someone living with you, right now?
People are coming up.
Oh, okay. All right, so you were teaching there, you were giving private lessons. And how long did you stay there?
So initially it's in about 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, initially it's in.
Did the rabbi suggest that you leave and come to the United States, or did you want to leave?
That's what he wrote me in the beginning. The first answer on my letter was that I should better go to America.
Were your children getting the kind of education you wanted them to get in Israel?
That was the main reason we left.
We didn't have the desire to go to America.
You were happy in Israel?
Yes, we were happy in Israel. So I wrote to the rabbi a letter that he would like to, because it seems that I'll get a job in teaching, because not to Yachalich. So the rabbi asked me, I wrote you already, that for you it's better you should go to the United States.
But you didn't go then.
So we had the visa for a couple of years, till came on a man to feel that he has to go. He said, the rabbi said, you should go, so you have to go. But if he would have any reason to think that in Israel it would be for us easier to raise our children, then maybe we wouldn't. But we felt that Israel would be for us too hard to raise the children the way we want. Because English and Sindhu believe it was impossible.
There was no yeshiva there?
There was not even a chesed there.
All right.
It
was just a school from the government. Nothing new.
The Israeli government. Well, it wasn't Israel then.
And they were armed with the British. They didn't have that. They didn't have anything. Just the only place where you could host the children should be raised the way they wanted to go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't see any future that we could move to Jerusalem to live. To stay in the original city, to keep the children something possible.
So this is really why you left Israel, because your children could not get a proper Jewish education.
100%.
That was it. All right. I assume that you came to New York when you came to this country?
We came to New York because I had at that time Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my father's family was there. There was two better families. Then,
excuse me, how many children did you have?
The two. The older boys. And then we rent for us an apartment. We took the apartment for us about 6 weeks, 2 months later.
Were you working during this period of time?
I didn't learn nothing to work.
Did you know any English when you came to this country?
No,
did you? You
no,
had to
no.
learn it once you got here.
I had to go to the Bronx. Once.
To go where?
To the Bronx.
Oh, the Bronx.
My dream was to go from Brooklyn to the Bronx. So just asking, tell me how to ask, how shall I go this way? So then told me, tell him how shall I go to the Bronx. And this boy said, that's not in there. No, no, no. Anyway, so then after 3.5 months, I find a job in Linden, New Jersey. For the whole job was $25 a month.
$25 a month? Mm-hmm. And what was the rent you were paying?
In a shoe.
Yeah.
In the shoe, they were clearly. But no, the only needs. Chef chickens.
What you chef chickens
I taught.
I
get eggs. So when I came there, before I went, the rabbi there was my friend that a schoolmate. We belonged together in the barracks when we were young boys. So I took everything he told me for granted. Then when I came, I found out that they do have a sheikh. And that was going on between the sheikh and the rabbi. So the sheikh is right, not the rabbi.
Oh, they were having an argument, and that's why you were called to take
the sheikh. I told them, no, I will keep the job of the sheikh, but the one for the sheikh, let him keep it. And I had some private lessons. I had to $8-$9 a week from the private lessons. $25 was to pay your rent.
That didn't leave very much, did it?
Huh?
Didn't leave very much.
So we used to leave $3-$4 for Shabbos, and the rest was spent during the week.
And how long were you there?
We were there for 7 or 8 years.
Really? And you earned $9 a week, your rent was $25?
I got $25 from the shoe. And then I said, that was to pay the rent.
Oh, I see. Oh, I thought they were paying you to be the $25 to be a chef, but you wouldn't take that job.
Yeah, I was in the shoe also to lay and to down.
Oh, all right, I didn't understand.
So then I gave up, I told them I don't know if you're a chef. I don't want to keep that sheikh's job because it doesn't belong to him and all that today. So I opened a business for myself.
What kind of a business?
Also chicken and cheese
business. And how did you get the money to open that?
They went. The people from the shore.
The people from the shore let you in. And how did things go in the chicken and fish business?
I wasn't too successful.
Why wasn't it success? For 8 years, you struggled with this business?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean, I didn't realize you were in the business for that long.
Yeah.
Oh, about 8 years.
Something.
Then it happened that about the time for that job in Chicago.
Who found the job? The rabbi?
One of our shoes that we had there, they needed a man in the show. So I was recommended and they took me.
Oh, so you went to Chicago then?
Hmm? Yeah, 5 years ago in Chicago.
You were in Chicago for 5 years and you were working in a shul in Chicago, hmm? All right, now what did you do there? Did you teach?
All kind
you
of
did
things.
Everything.
Hmm? Everything that we didn't like it there.
You didn't like it there?
Before that, when we begin, the Rebbe was, when we came in the United States, the Rebbe was here for a visit.
The rabbi from Russia?
Yes. Yeah. Not from Russia, but he was from Holland. But that's the Rebbe.
Right.
And my brother-in-law came with him. He was his private secretary from Russia. From, so once he calls me up and says, usually women didn't go into the Rebbe. He called me up and says, he begins to let in women for asking advices, also, come over. So we went right away there, just from New Jersey. And we came in, and he also, well, all of a sudden, I said, he went out, and then I was sending my message. I had one child in my hands, the other, I was sending. And he says, Rebbe, how are we going to raise your children? It's such a heavy place. America is a schwerer within it.
What's that mean?
A hard country.
A hard country. How can we raise good Jewish children here? Mm-hmm. So he looked at me with such a beautiful smile he had, and so sweet smile. He says, yes, America. The Shvere Medine, you're going to have good, groom Jewish children. You're going to raise good children. I went out. I didn't ask anymore. I didn't need it anymore.
He convinced you that it would happen.
Good, groom Yiddish children. And that gave us so much faith and so much hopes that nothing was could, nothing could move us. Everything was all right.
Just hearing those words.
And when we
now, this was before you went to Chicago.
Yes. That was just when we came in, the same year as we came in the United States. Because I kept my children on my lap, on my hands. And when last year we had here the convention. And I was the chairman, and I had to open the convention. So I told them that when we came here, the way I felt, and then when we came here in Pittsburgh, what we went through, that was a special. We came here; it was like a desert, coming from. People didn't want to let us in to live here, and so on. He was sent here. It wasn't going to begin.
Was
gesagt by the very bad
convention. All right. Well, let's get back to when you moved to Chicago. You were offered a job there, and you had your two children, and you went to Chicago.
In Chicago, right? Here was about already 4 children.
Oh, there were 4 children.
I was pregnant with my 5th child.
All right.
The girl, which is in Italy.
All right. So, all right, you went to Chicago.
Even before they lived in New Jersey, they also lived at school for the children.
So you really, up to this point, had not found a school for your children?
So, it was a rabbi in Elizabeth. And we also had a little son. And the same age like our oldest son. And they also lived at school. So we all together had 7 children. So we hired a taxi, get children from Linden, Brazil, Elizabeth, and one teacher for Hebrew and for English.
And 5 classes. With 7 children, 5 classes.
Mm. But the children were pretty good.
How old was the youngest child and how old was the oldest of that group?
The oldest was by 9 years.
9 years, he went away already.
There. Yeah. There's a label, he's out.
How old were the children? The oldest and the youngest?
From the second grade.
From the second grade on?
Because, I'll tell you why. Because in the first grade, because in the first grade, he still was in public school. Mm-hmm. And they want him to make for the Easter eggs.
Oh, they want him to celebrate Easter a little bit.
See? And he came home, and that was the end. The part was gone. Before, it was Christmas time, they came home, they asked him if his mother should sew for him a red little shirt behind. Maybe instead
for Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. But, anyway, so he answered that my mother couldn't sew.
Oh,
he knew that's not him. But then when it came, for Easter, and he asked him the old committee for the Easter eggs. So after that, he took my after school, and the next semester we had
You had this private teacher for the taxi took these children to a school, not a school.
The whole school was these seven children, that's all.
Oh, that's what I thought you meant. Okay.
Yeah. So this was 2 years maybe, that's all.
How many?
Yes.
Two?
2 years ago. Then it was not, you could imagine how much we could have run teachers in life. It was not so easy for us to hold attention to pay. They could have learned from these learnings. The Arabic came to teach the mother. Anyway, so then we sent them to New York.
Was there the yeshiva in New York?
Yeshiva, but for this kind of little children was not done with us. So we had to find for them a private home, boarding room in a private home.
How old were they when you sent them to New York?
The youngest one was 8 and a half, and the oldest one was 10 years old. Zama was 10 years old. So,
So you had to find a home for them?
Yeah, and that,
that was near the school.
So.
Rabboni did it by city.
You know, that by one of the rabbis who took him in, and then when we moved to Chicago, so there also was no high school where to send him. It was no yeshiva either. I hear it, you like it. And our older son told us himself, if you want me to grow up, to raise to you like you want it, so you know that in the DC here, it's going to be, send me to New York, I'll go. So we sent him to New York.
He had already been to New York.
Before, sure, I told
him. Okay, so he said he would go back to New York because there was nothing in Chicago that was proper for
like that. So they went to New York, he returned with us. And then just the Rebbe came to these days, and the Rebbe opened the yeshiva. So naturally, he took him out and did the house with him for the Rebbe's yeshiva.
No, he opened the yeshiva where?
In New York.
In New York. Oh, all right. All right, and you were in Chicago.
Yeah, so also, I didn't have too much success in Chicago.
What were you doing in Chicago?
Not sure why, but...
But
I had a friend that he wanted to take for a partner in business. I didn't need any money to put in, just to stay inside, out of the desert, man, he does that, man. And something that I have an idea in it. I went to the Rebbe and I told him. So the Rebbe told me, your job in the shul, you have to quit, this is not a question. But I couldn't let you go out in business.
So the rabbi told you to come to Pittsburgh.
I told him, but he told me to go to Pittsburgh.